some of you know who I am. I thought maybe I'd just give you a little bit of my background to those who do not know me. I was in Minnesota for 11 years when I was a child, and then we moved into Hancock, and there I was there for 12 years. And after 12 years, I married my wife, Mary Lou, and we went on to Detroit, Michigan. And there in Detroit, Michigan, I spent most of my adult life. It has been spent there with my wife, and I have lived there and worked there since 1950 until 2008, when I came here to the Copper Country. I worked in 15 years in the consulting engineering and designed heating, air conditioning, and plumbing systems for office and schools. In 1965, I began work with the Oakland Community College, which was just starting up, and I had been there as a associate director of physical facilities since that time until 1992, when I retired. My church life has always been very much a priority to me and my wife. We served the church in Detroit in any capacity that we were called for when the time came. God has been very good to us. We had wonderful friends. We had a wonderful relationship with God's work people, and many happy times of which we can thank God. Our pastor at that time was Pastor Elmer Limita. He retired in 1995, and I was asked to be an interim pastor there for the work between the different pastors that were called. First of all, there was Pastor Marty Onerma. Then came Sean Miller. And after Sean Miller, there came Jared Niemela. And after Johnny Niemela, there came Andy Witten, who is now there. In 2008, we came to the Copper Country again. And we never did go back to Detroit. We spent all of our time here since 2008. Mary Lou, of course, you know, she had health problems, and finally God had taken her home. So that's, and I would say that my home in Detroit, I sold to my son Tom, so I had no reason to go back there. And ever since then, I have been here in this congregation, and I kind of love this congregation because it is very social. It does the work of the Lord in such a way that I just marvel at it. And today we're going to have a little lesson from the Bible. And you know, God has many different lessons in the Bible. And some of them, they strike us as being loving and caring and generous. And here we have another one. It's taken in the book of Luke 13, verses 6 through 9. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us during this time. The lesson is this. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering and said unto him, Lord, let it be no alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. In many of the parables of the Lord, he starts out by saying a certain man. We have come to know that this certain man must be God. When he spoke about the prodigal son and said a certain man had two sons, and the younger one asked to have his divided amount from the Lord. And we find out that the vineyard in this parable happens to be Israel, or else the Church of God, the Kingdom of God. The book in Isaiah says that the vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. And then it talks about the barrenness and the fruitlessness of the tree. The dresser in the vineyard, I have always taken as being Christ. He worked with Israel all those many years. And the year says here, 3 years I come seeking fruit on the fig tree. God had patience. The dresser wanted God to have him work a little bit more. He would dig about it. He would dung it. He would not want to cut it down unless it was unavoidable. Eternal damnation is not the will of God at all. He says this in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah. What could I have done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked at it, that it should bring forth grapes, lo, it brought forth wild grapes. And another place in the Bible it says, Israel is an empty vine. Another place it says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, I will cut down. The Bible is full of saying, the word of God said by Ezekiel in his writings, it said, and they came unto you as the people cometh, and they sit therefore before you as my people, and they hear my words, but their heart is goeth after their own covetousness. So you see that Israel was the vineyard, and in our day it is the Church of God here upon this earth. Jesus says in one part of the scriptures, in Matthew, he said that to many of you who say, Lord, Lord, and have prophesied in my name, and in my name you have cast out devils, he says, and then will I profess unto you, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. A certain man had fig tree planted in his vineyard. He did not plant this fig tree, but it was planted in the vineyard. You and I have come from the world into the church. We have come from our natural way into the grace of God. We have come from sin into godliness. You know, it's one thing to be in the church, and it's another thing to be be of the church. We have to have a confession of faith. We have to know about sin. We have to know about repentance. We have to know about regeneration. There are tares among the children of God in this life. God did not plant it, it said. He found it or had it planted. But God does not acknowledge a barren fig tree to be his workmanship at all. Jesus, in speaking to the Pharisees, said this, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted, I will root it up. And he says in another place in Scripture, when he speaks about the marriage feast, He said, "Friend, how camest thou hither, not having on a wedding garment?" We have to understand that people are cunning. They're crafty. But the king's eyes are not blind. "I did not bring you here. The Spirit did not bring you here," he says. "How camest thou?" What did Christ say he was branded? They were branded as thieves and robbers. The church must be careful of the people who are in the church. Sometimes there are false brethren in the church. Sometimes there are certain people creep in unawares. Some speak of humility. But the great house of God, the kingdom of God, it says it in the Bible that it has vessels of gold and of silver, but it also has vessels of wood and of clay. Some in the church are honorable. Some are not honorable. In the book of Romans, in the 9th chapter, it speaks of vessels to honor and to dishonor. Vessels that are fit for wrath and vessels that are fit for mercy. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "These shall receive greater damnation." Why? They loved to be in long robes. They loved to say long prayers in the marketplace. They loved to have the chief spots in the meetings that they were going to. He came here, it says, to seek fruit thereon. It matters not who brought them into the church, whether it was God, whether it was the devil, or whether it was by their works. But he asks this question, "Do you have fruit?" The Bible also speaks that the vineyard of God needs laborers. If you will not regulate your life, it says, and see and let affections go, such as pride, such as ambition, such as pampering yourselves, such as going after the fashions of the world, or dabbling in world affairs that incline to keep one away from God. He also says that there was a certain man who had 2 sons to work in the vineyard. One said he would go, but he did not go. And the other said he would not go, and he went. And Jesus asked the questions, which one of them would be worthy? And they said the one that did not want to go, but he did go anyway. If you do not have any fruit, you and I are empty boughs. We are dry branches. We are fruitless. We are like this fig tree. And when God comes to ask, where is our faith? What is our answer? God sees the heart, and he knows the heart. He knows the hardness of the heart. You cannot cloak your sin or hide it from God. God sees the church as his vineyard. He's looking to see the fruits of the valley, as the Song of Solomon often says, that he says, "I see the vines flourish, and I see the pomegranates bud." But here he found none. None at all. No pleasant fruit at all. No sweet fruit at all. For bad fruit is considered by God as no fruit. "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit," he says, "will be hewn down and cast into the fire." God does not want withered fruit. He doesn't want smitten fruit, damaged fruits. They're reckoned as no fruit at all, as far as God is concerned. We may have a fair beginning. We may have repentance. We may want to break away from our sin. Some have fast-growing fruit. They have great stalks, but there are no fruit on the stalks. They are they who suddenly are awakened and are convinced so greatly that they cry out and thank God for being a Christian. But their purpose is short-lived. The full summer is needed before the harvest can begin. God says in His Word, continue ye in my love. That means every day of our lives we are to be continually in love with God. There's also bitter fruit, roots that are dried up. They cannot have sufficient sap to go into the branches and to ripen the fruit. Such have a lean understanding of God. They gain their strength from their own principles. There are people who have gifts and natural talents. These are not enlightened by the Holy Spirit at all. God says there's also wild fruit. In the book of Isaiah, I read, there are vines and wild vines. There are flowers and there are wild flowers. There are apples and there are wild apples. They're not dunged. They are not cared for. They are not cultivated. Some play with them, but they have no market value at all. These are the vines that come to the natural man, not by the new birth and not by regeneration of God. Untimely fruit, out of season, fruit too soon, or fruit too late. The tree casteth forth untimely fruit, the Bible says, when shaken by a mighty wind. There is fruit that is cast on stony places. They have no root. They are dried up because when persecution comes or when trials come, it cannot bear them. Then there is fruit that's too late. Come when the door is shut. They come when the flood of God's wrath is due deep. The Bible said that Esau found no place for repentance. God wants fruit now. This is the time He wants fruit. The five virgins did not get into the kingdom. They didn't have the fruit. Judas saw he was condemned. Esau had a demise. He sold his birthright. When the master shuts the door, he says, I know you not. Depart from me, all ye who do iniquity. Now there is good fruit also. The tree must be good, else it will not bear good fruit. What are these fruits? Fruit of righteousness is one of the fruits. The fruits of the Spirit are the fruits God is looking for. He's looking for love. He's looking for joy. He is looking for peace. He is looking for long suffering in this trial here on earth. He's looking for gentleness, for goodness, for faith, for temperance, and all the things that are in the book of Galatians. You and I cannot be saints before men. and devils at home. We cannot be saints in the Word and then sinners in our heart and our life. God is asking this morning, where is your fruit? Repentance not only includes sorrow and shame, but it asks that you should turn to God. What have you done about sin, O barren fig tree? Are all things permissible unto you? Where is your self-denial? Are you walking in dishonesty? Are you walking in craftiness? Can you commend yourself to every man's conscience? These are things that the Bible says. Do you conform with Christ? Do you conform with His life, His sorrows, His sufferings? What degree of holiness do you have? God expects fruit. He says it many times, according to the grace that He's bestowed upon us, according to the rain, the blessings that He has given us. The earth brings forth the rain, and it brings forth herbs, but it also brings forth thistles. Have you taken the name Christian? The Bible says, I am the Lord's, pretending to be one of the kingdom, saying God's peace when there really is no peace within your hearts. Good ground brings forth fruit with patience. You hear the word and you want to keep it. There are those in the Bible that I can refer to as having good fruit. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Noah, in his life and in his faith, condemned the world that was about him. Abraham left his country and he walked with God. Moses left the kingdom of Egypt and rather would be with the children of God. Peter left his father and his nets and followed Christ. Apostle Paul left Gamaliel and he entered into a life with Christ. Others have been stoned. Some have been hanged. Some have their necks cut off, as we read and we know in the things that are happening now. Some of us have been drowned. Some have been starved. Some have been pulled to pieces. What are you doing in the vineyard, dear friends? Are you one who is having fruit? He came and sought for fruit in season thereon. Abraham had fruit with God. God will search the boughs, even as He searched Sodom for righteousness. And it says in the Bible, He wanted to know if there was 50. Was there 40? Was there 30? Was there 10? He found none. There were nothing there. In verse 7 it says here, then he said he to the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I kept seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why cumber it if the earth? Why is it taking nutrients from the earth? Then denotes a decision. God's patience is abused. God's forbearance is abused. 40 years long I have grieved with this generation. God remembers every season, every sermon preached, every minister, every affliction, every example of your life and mine. The Bible says in Numbers, they tempted me 10 times and have not hearkened unto my voice. This is God speaking. God is speaking, seeking fruit, and he looks closely. He is going to look in all the ways, in the boughs, around the boughs, in the darkness, in the light. He must say to us, these people draw nigh unto me, but their hearts are far from me. He referred to the Pharisees at that time. And we can ask this question, is God too hard? Does he want too much from us? What would you do if you were the one seeking the vineyard and fruit in the vineyard? You would see the fig tree only have leaves. You'd mark it and let it grow. Next year arrives, found no fruit. But second thoughts, you will say, well, this must be the fault of the earth, or maybe it's the fault of the tree. And the third season, you still see no fruits. Behold, the axe is about to come. Cut it down. It's dead. Son of man, Ezekiel said this, what is the vine tree more than any tree? Or then a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Or will men take of the bough of it and hang some vessel upon it? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, and they shall enter another fire, and it shall devour them. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. There are two ways which God has to cut down. First of all, he will cast you out of the vineyard. He will bring strong delusions and doctrines that swerve from faith and godliness. Some will have to be content with the Antichrist, who is a god of deceit and of lies. Some are entangled in their own lusts. You can get cast out of the world, as in the Old Testament it speaks of certain men that contested against Moses when he was going through the wilderness. There was Nadab and Abihu. There was Korah. There was Dathan. And there was Abiram. And what happened to them? It says God opened the earth and devoured them. Saul died by the sword. Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead. Judas and Absalom both hung themselves. All of them were barren fig trees. In Matthew 21, I find that God had a vineyard and he hedged it. And he had a wine press in the vineyard. And he had a tower in the vineyard. And he told men to come in. But when they came in, they were slewed. And finally, he sent his son, and it says they slew him also. Saul was barren. The dresser replies, "The Jesus that I say, justice might be deferred upon all of us." It's an amazing grace that Christ is concerned about barren fig trees. He's concerned about you and me. Jesus has great mercy. No one knows how much we grieve the Father. He has great patience. A little longer. Give me a little more time. I'll try to make this tree fruitful. It's earthbound. I'll loosen the soil. I'll take the love of the world and make them come to love God. Love not the world, the Bible says. The roots are wrapped in clay. I will lay the roots bare. I will bring sickness upon them. I will bring disappointments to them. I'll bring crosses to them till they understand where help comes from. I will dung it about. I will send the warm gospel message unto them. I will send servants who understand a fruitful ministry. I will send words that would warm the hearts and woo them in. I'm going to strive by my Spirit unto them. And if they bear fruit, it's worth my time, Jesus says, and labor. And if not, then after that shall I cut it down. Jesus says this, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I have sent the prophets and men before you, and you slew them. I would have taken you under my wing, but you would not." See the concern of him. When the axe hits, dear friends, what is left? Judgment. If you sin willfully after knowing the truth, it's bad for you. You must continue all the days of your life. The day of grace ends to some before they even die. It happened so with Cain, who was one. It happened so with Ishmael, who mocked Abraham and Sarah. It happened with Esau. God's patience wears out. God begins to shake the tree. Fetch the axe. Death called for. Death to what? To body and to soul. Fears of everlasting punishment cause the sinner to say, "Spare me. Give me a little more time. How many times have you failed me? How many sermons have I spoken unto you? How many mercies have I done for you? And yet you show and do not respond to me." Once again, the fig tree asks, "I'll do better. Spare me one more time." Instead of spending a life with God, he doubles his efforts in the world. He soon forgets what God has said unto him. "And spare me. Spare my children. Bless my labors." God does not leave you alone, and the law keeps following us. Before this, God will strive with him a little longer. what the time will run out. I will awaken. I will be convinced. I will recall my former sins. I will remember that judgment is mine if I break the law of God. All my promises and my vows, all of my misspent days, I will work with persuasive arguments from the Lord. He will tell me of the shortness of time and certain death awaits me. And there is a time also when the fig tree is left alone. God does not work with it anymore. Ephraim is joined with idols. Let him alone. Woe to them that depart from me. These are beyond mercy, God says. These are beyond promises. And a fearful judgment awaits them all. But will the fig tree have to die? He does not. Listen to what he says here. Dear friend, let ye be considered a fig tree. You cannot satisfy the law in the way of obedience. You cannot satisfy the law in your works. Your failure is fulfilled partially. Is not enough. You cannot desert the law. The law will not forsake you, but it will follow after you. When it pronounces sentence upon you, then you shall know that you are beginning to die. The marriage between the sinner and the law is not dissolved, dear friends, until the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ takes place. Listen, there is still grace for you today. There is still help. There is still redemption. The Father has sent Jesus to die for you and the whole world. Jesus has taken your sins upon himself. The debt has been paid. Christ suffered the deserved punishment. He endured the wrath of God. You who deserved punishment, Jesus took it in your stead and obtained salvation in your behalf. As you believe, you will receive, and you will learn to delight in the law of God. It will become your meditation and your joy all the days of your life. The marriage between the sinner and the law is now dissolved, and that lawfully, not for now, but forever. It is slain by love and slain by faith. Therefore, it behooves me to examine what the Bible says in the light of the text of God here. May it continue to work in us in the vineyard, to find us there, to be fig trees that will bear fruit all the days of our life. And so ends the lesson for today. Let us bow our heads and let us ask God to bless us. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless us and to keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.